Welcome to With Me Tonight, a podcast hosted by me, the hilariously funny, that's right, I said it, Onika McLean. I am a New York City comedian and legal professional. I am a mom, I'm a friend, I'm a lover. I've had so many different lives, and we're going to talk about those lives. We're going to interview those people that have inspired me, encouraged me. We're going to get funny, we're going to get political. We're going to do all things that human beings get to do in a flawed, hilariously funny way. Hi, guys. This is Onika McLean, and you have just stepped into a clusterfuck of information. The show is called With Me Tonight. And so With Me Tonight is me, actually. So normally I'm going to have guests, you know, throughout my travels. I am a legal professional. I come from the projects. I'm a single mom of two. I have a plethora of, I said plethora twice, so that's dumb. So I'm going to say it one more time. I have a plethora of, no, I don't. So what this show is really about, this show is about my life. I am a working comedian in New York City. I'm a legal professional. I'm a mom. I'm single. I am 40 plus, and I'm a mother wit. I have a bunch of information, and I have a bunch of friends that I'm going to interview, and we're going to chat it up. I'm going to bring the funny. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. You're going to be excited. You're going to be appalled, actually, sometimes, because I say crazy stuff like retarded, and I shouldn't say it, and then people get mad at me. But whatever, it is what it is. But most importantly, you're going to fall in love with my journey, because I have. So that's what With Me Tonight is. So why am I doing this? I'm doing this because we're in the middle of the coronavirus, and I can't get on stage, actually. So what's happening is I'm having cabin fever, and I'm like, I must create, because I am a creative. And I said, let's do more podcasting. Don't you love the sound of my voice? It sounds a little raspy, and I don't know. I sound androgynous a little bit, right? Okay, so that's my producer, Adam. He's over there. He's trying to make me feel better. What we were talking about before we started taping was sex in the pandemic, which is so crazy, because I'm from an old school, so I save mine, hold it over there for Jesus. I don't know. He still hasn't taken it. But the new generation, you know, you guys are so sexually fluid and free and doing all these different things. And I'm just trying to figure out what that's about. So we're going to have guests that talk about that stuff, generational stuff. We're going to talk about religion. We're going to talk about hood, violence, murder, love, meditation, all things that I have come across in my travels. And I hope that you're inspired and annoyed, and you just keep coming back. Keep coming back. Listen, that's not what I want to say. I want you to keep coming back. I don't know. How do you say that thing? I don't know how to say it, but I know I like to talk to myself a lot. I talk to myself in the mirror all the time. I tell myself jokes. I do all kinds of stuff to myself. I mean, I do stuff to myself, but that's none of your business, that part of it. But I'm talking about the regular stuff that I do to myself, like just, you know, talking to myself. So I'm just going to keep talking to you guys and see what you think. Okay. So that is why I'm doing it and who I am. I already told you that. With Me Tonight, it's going to be an amazing experience. Fun filled laughter, drama, I don't know, skits. We're going to do a bunch of stuff. It's just going to be a clusterfuck of craziness, and you're going to have a good time listening. I don't think that I can talk for 5 minutes by myself, because I'm supposed to talk for an hour by myself. How the fuck do people do this? You just keep talking. You're just like, oh, so then anyway, I don't know what's happening. Okay, so let's talk about this coronavirus, guys. Let's get into it. Okay, so with me tonight is Onika McLean. Hi, Onika. How are you? I am wonderful. So, are you, feeling sick? Do you have a fever? Because I don't want to get anything from you, bitch. No, I think I'm okay. Okay, cool. So sit down. Would you like a glass of wine? Sure. Okay. Sip. Okay. So who are you and why are you here? I am Onika McLean. I am your inner being. I'm better than you is what I am. And I'm sick of your shit. I don't know. I'm sick of your lowbrow thinking drama is what I'm sick of. So that's what's happening. I don't know. Why am I just being crazy? Okay. So I'm going to interview myself. So I am a 40 plus year old woman. I have two children. I'm a divorcee. I date sporadically. I have a shoe problem. I have a shopping problem. I buy too many shoes. I work in a law office. I spend too much money. I don't save enough. I spoil my kids like ridiculously. I buy them things that they, I should not. I do things. I just got back from Vegas and I spent all this money on my daughter and I try to curse her out because of my decisions and she just flipped it on me and then I ended up apologizing. That's just my life because I get too crazy too fast and then I have to pump my brakes and then I have to say sorry all the time. That is what I've done for the most part of my life. Had two children by the age of 26. I was married for like 17 years. Have two daughters. One is a rapper and the other one is a biology major. One still in college. Ania and Imani. Imani is the rapper. Oh, I'm going to interview them too. So you guys can really see what the hell is going on in my real world because we have a really crazy dynamic. Their dad is, I'm not going to talk about him yet, but I will get into it because one, you know what I'm saying? Look how I get a little bit excited because I want to say a bunch of shit to that motherfucker, but I'm not because, you know, I make these decisions myself, even though these kids was his idea. It just is what it is. I'm going to just, you know, say that make your own decisions, young ladies. Make your own decisions because you'll be paying tuition for the rest of your damn life. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what I want to talk about. Okay, don't ever say you don't know what you want to talk about. I you know what? I do that on stage sometimes. So I'm a comedian, right? I do that on stage sometimes. I'm like, I don't know what I want to talk about. And I do know what I want to talk about. I always want to talk about my vagina because I'm still trying to figure out how does she get me into the mess that she's gotten me into in this whole damn time. I am really a mom. And like being a mom is so dope because it's almost over and the children are big now. And so all I need to really do is Cash App or Venmo them and have conversations about stuff that they're never going to take my advice on because they, especially about love, they're like, what are you talking about? Nobody wants to hear a single 40 something year old woman advice on love because you know what I'm going to say. Fuck that. You don't want him to do. Let me tell you something. And nobody wants to deal with that because I'm shaking my head and God, peppermints in my pocketbook like I'm an old church lady. So nobody wants to hear that. So I talk about it on stage. I just make up jokes and then I go tell perfect strangers about my vagina or about my life or about my anxiety or about my take on politics or my take on life observational and all kinds of stuff. I just talk a lot. I like talking. It's good. It's therapeutic. So that's what happened. I got rid of my therapist. Shout out to Dr. Glassman. And I picked up comedy and I've been running with comedy ever since. But now we have this goddamn pandemic. I don't know what's going to happen because who's going to listen to my vagina jokes? Maybe, just maybe this podcast will blow the hell up because you guys are so bored. You just want to hear this raspy voice old lady talk about stuff that, you know, talk about the projects and talk about East New York, Brooklyn, and talk about hiding and ducking for gunshots and all kinds of stuff that has happened in my many, many travels or boardroom stuff where I look at all these old rich white guys make more and more and more and more money. And I just smile and act like I don't want a piece of the pie, but I would like a piece of the pie, but you have to be ruthless. You have to be treacherous. And, I don't know. I have a heart and, having a heart sometimes keeps you a little, you just go to Saks and buy some shoes, Neiman Marcus sale and, lull yourself that way. So that's what I've been doing. Okay. So you guys want to hear some of my jokes? Oh, you can't talk back to me. So I get to just do whatever it is I want to do. See how my brain thinks? I just said to you guys, do you guys want to hear some of my jokes? And if you're dumb enough to say yes, then you are just as crazy as I am. Because guess what? We can't hear one another because this is not a telephone conversation. This is a podcast, which means I just talk and you listen. Okay, so now I want to talk about love. Love to me is electric, electrifying. It's moving parts. It's amazing. I thought that I was in love so many different times. But what I figured out in life is once I started like falling in love with myself, then love just started coming more naturally for me. And then I started loving myself, both physically and emotionally, more physically. And then the emotions kind of came, I guess, when you start having sex with yourself, then eventually you start like loving yourself more. And so love is fleeting. It moves around and you got to let her go. And when she comes back, you just got to welcome her in, acting like she wasn't a horrid whore in the street. You just got to like wipe off her feet and wash her face and make her wash her hands for 20 seconds, like they suggest for the pandemic, and then bring her inside and give her something to eat. That's what you have to do with love. You just got to allow it to come and go as it pleases. And that's what I'm learning about love. I learned a lot about love in meditation. I had started meditating at the suggestion of my therapist. She couldn't take it anymore. I just wasn't able to learn. She kept giving me the tools and I just kept giving her back the tools. And she was like, have you ever read this book? No matter where you go, there you are. And I was like, no. And she was like, I suggest you read it. And I was like, but in my mind, I've been here for 5.5 years. Why is she suggesting a book right now? And I read that book and it changed my life. And it was so amazing. It was about sinking in and starting to realize your breaths and deal with anxiety and deal with depression and deal with all the things that it means to be human and happiness and sit in it. So I started sitting and waiting and breathing and thinking, and it had opened up me in so many different ways because I started writing in meditation and I started writing in a way that it wasn't just words. Sometimes it was just scribble, but it was so freeing. Everything was getting out of my body and onto the page. And I had committed to 3 pages a day and I would just write and write and write and write and write. And sometimes I would say the most horrid things. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know I felt like that. But that writing meditation really, really started working. And then the breathing. And then eventually I just stopped everything and I just sat still and waited for freedom to come. And it always would sit down with me and have a conversation. I've had some crazy experiences in meditation. And then I had come up with a slogan. It was like, meditate, don't catch a case. And I have like t-shirts. If you guys want to buy it, you can get it on my website, onikamclean.com. That's onikamclean. But it was really a true statement, meditate, don't catch a case, because I dealt with so much. I just was a fighter. I always want to fight every battle. Like I'm always feeling like on the defensive, and this was how I grew up. And just to think that something like giving up and just surrendering would give you so much freedom, I never thought that that would even be possible. So that's what happened with me in meditation. And it's so crazy because I haven't been meditating like I should. I had started like meditating naked and doing yoga in the mirrors. There's like so many different techniques, and I was like implementing all of them and they were like wonderful. And what I noticed is once I started adding human beings to the cipher, my meditations went to the side and I started focusing on my human interactions, which were probably not so great. So we're going to talk about meditation at length. We're going to have some spiritual healers come on the show and talk about how to stay connected, how to go to the next level, how to attract things into your existence that wouldn't normally be there, how to think about your words before you say them, and that kind of stuff. So we're definitely going to have that happening with the meditation, because the meditation is changing me, actually. It makes me think about life differently. So then we could talk about therapy. So I was in therapy for like 8 years. That is a long freaking time. I know that's a crazy long time to be in therapy, but I needed it because I had grown up with, so my mom was like 16 when she had me. So she was a child and I felt like I was her mother. Shit, I still feel like I'm her mother the whole time. Like I would, my mother, like she was a party girl. She used to be doing cocaine, saying shit like she gonna die and I'm gonna have to take care of my sister. And I'm like, okay, bitch, I'm eight. Like I don't, okay, I guess I'll figure it out. Maybe I can get a job. I'll be trying to go to school the next day. Like y'all hiring. It was a lot going on in my childhood and my dad wasn't around. So my grandmother raised me early on. And then my mother, I started living with my mother when I was like 6 years old, something like that, 6 or 8. And just trying to come from a Southern Baptist family where like old people are raising you to this young woman in New York City. And now I have like a little sister and I have to be the quasi adult. So my life has always been the person holding the bag. Like I was the responsible one. And, I mean, I was a juvenile delinquent, but I was still the responsible person. Like I was the person that, you know, my sister would cook, but I would go steal the food. It was like that kind of, like we had like a crazy life, not crazy where we were like uber poor. It wasn't that kind of thing because my mother is a beautiful woman and she always had a husband taking care of us. I mean, it was never her husband, but yeah, dads were good. Yeah, dads were good to us. I'm just saying. And you know, so crazy because I remember helping my mother plan her 25th birthday party. And I was like, this, she never made good decisions. I was like, you should use pink balloons. And she was talking about it was going to clash with her pink champagne. And I was like, what are you talking about, Lynn? My mother was a crazy freaking person. And you know what? We had a horrible relationship all the way up until I became an adult. And then we got it together. So this podcast is going to talk about that too, healing, because we were able to heal our relationship in a way that she is one of my best friends and I could not stand her and the bitch couldn't stand me either. And that's so crazy because now it's all better. And I never thought that relationships could heal, but we were able to heal and it didn't have anything to do with therapy. Actually, she had gotten sick. She had to get hips replaced. And I told my brothers and sisters, I was like, I am not helping you guys with her. What I'll do is I'll help financially, but I'm not going to help. And I ended up helping and I was really steeped in my meditations, right? Because it was my meditations came like on the tail end of my therapy. I was so steeped in my meditations and I started sharing them with her. And it, like all the stuff that she had with her mom, it was just kind of passed down to me. And we started unwrapping that and unpacking it. And we had that journey together and it's been an amazing journey. Like when I look at her right now, I can't not cry because our relationship was healed and it healed because of the meditations, because I sat down and I started to look at her as a woman and as an individual and as a spirit and not just this person that was supposed to do X and Y and Z for me. I said, no. And I remember I said this thing to her. I said, you know, I always wanted to be able to forgive you. And then I thought about it. I'm like, my children, I've done some bullshit to my children. Do I want them to forgive me or do I want them to kind of act like that shit didn't happen so that I can keep going on being the super mom? So who am I to ask her for forgiveness? You just give it. And that's what happened with me and my mom's relationship. And it's been restored. So that is dope. And that's from meditation. And me and my daughter's relationships, you know, I'm a single mom and that's perpetually overwhelmed. And what women often do is we kind of blame the kids for our choices. I chose the dude and I chose the circumstances. And some of that stuff I created myself because I was just so in a space where I was resentful. And I felt like, oh, now I have to be an adult and I have to be the mom and he gets to do his own life and he gets to do all the things that he wanted to do for himself. And I wasn't able to do that. And it was draining on me, but it was truly draining on my daughters. And I wanted forgiveness for that. And what I did with my daughters is I overcompensated. I would like, I give them things that just didn't even make sense and have parties that like over the freaking top. Everything was overcompensating because I wasn't, emotionally fully there. So I felt guilt, and guilt is the worst human emotion ever. Guilt is the worst human emotion ever because you don't admit it, right? That's the thing that you try to hide the most, and it comes out in these ugly, ugly ways. It just was crazy. So that's going to happen. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about child rearing. We're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff. Like when I say all the things that happened with me, this is going to be our bond. This podcast is going to be transparent, open, and honest. And it's going to be more organized than this. It's just right now I'm just getting my thoughts out. But what has happened in my life is going to change me, and I just pray that it changes you as well. So we get to the healing, right? And my mom and my daughters, and the last stage of any healing is laughter. So then comedy came in. And then when comedy came in, I would write jokes. I took a comedy class, shout out to Rick Crome and Veronica Mosley at the Comedy Cellar. Shout out to the Comedy Cellar. And I took a class, and then, you know, did whatever the weeks I had. And then I had a showcase, and I wrote these jokes, and the jokes weren't really about me. The jokes were written. They were really good, but they weren't about me. And so I would do those jokes different places, and they would work sometimes and they wouldn't work sometimes. And I was writing comedy, and my friend Justin D'Elia, shout out to Justin, he would like help me. Oh, you have to do it like this, and yeah, it has to be three. You have to do it in threes and all that stuff. And he's such a good friend. And what happened is I just started telling my truth. I just started talking about my life. And I wrote jokes as it related to the truth, like the joke that I started out when you know, I helped my mother plan her birthday party, or the husbands that she dealt with, or you know, dealing with a gangster, because my ex-husband is a dude that was in the street for a long time. Like all those things, once I started writing jokes that had something to do with my life, one, I didn't have to remember them anymore. Two, it made me feel freer. And three, I got a bigger laugh because you got to hear my personal story. You got to know who I am. And as I am evolving through comedy, what's happening is the more truth that I tell myself, the funnier I become, and the more happier I am, actually. So that's what's that's where the comedy comes in. The comedy comes in with my own truth. And then I'm a good riffer, so I can just kind of like talk in any topic. And that's the gift part of it. But the best part of comedy is that I'm able to tell my truth. And sometimes it's pisses a lot of people off in my family, but I got to tell it. And so I always prayed that I would heal people with my voice. And I had no idea that it would be telling vagina jokes. I just thought maybe I would be a pastor or something one day, but did not want to do that because I love cussing a lot. I like to say a bunch of curse words. And I was like, that's not going to work out unless I go to the curse church. And I don't think there is a curse church. Shout out to Kareem Green. He said something. I have a good joke about that. So if you guys are loving what's happening, I know you should be loving it because I'm telling all my goddamn business. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all places where you can find podcasts. Okay? Bye now.